changer. Amen. Praise God. Ask the maniac of Gadara. He's a life changer. Amen. Ask the woman at the well. Ask Nicodemus. Amen. Ask Matthew. Right? Levi was his name. Tax collector. Lord Jesus can change lives. We're in Proverbs chapter 3. We've been in Proverbs the last little while here on Sunday mornings, looking at this book of wisdom. And it is the wisest man. God granted him this wisdom as a young man. When he told God, he was humble. He said, "Lord, I don't know how to go out or to come in." And he could have asked for so many things. He asked for wisdom. And God rewarded him with that wisdom. And people from all around the known world came to hear that wisdom. And of course, wealth and all kinds of things was multiplied unto him because he was a man of wisdom. And here, we've talked about how Proverbs is practically, physically, this man Solomon, okay, the son of David here, he's trying to now pass on wisdom to his son. Whether that was a different son or not, I don't know. I oftentimes just say he was trying to teach Rehoboam, which would be the next king, his son, when Solomon would die there. Rehoboam would take the throne. But here, God has preserved. Solomon is dead and gone. Rehoboam's dead and gone. God has preserved his word for you and I. And here, though it was a man teaching his son, God made it scripture for us. Amen. Book of wisdom. Book of wisdom. We can see that so clearly. Verse 1, my son. What's he say? Forget not my law. That's a head knowledge. Forget not my law. Put it in your, memorize it. Forget it not. Follow my law. Don't forget it. But then he says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Don't let it just be in your head. Let it come into your heart. And love and desire to keep my law, desire to please your daddy, desire to please God. And let the head knowledge become a heart desire here. Then he gives promise here, for length of days and long life. Now, as I'm looking at that, I'm trying to think, did he say the same thing twice, length of days and long life? I don't personally think so. I don't believe he did. Length of days to me sounds like a longer days, getting more accomplished in a day. Brother Gaylor, you got a lot going on some days, don't you? And sometimes you're like, if the sun could just be up a little bit longer for me, this would be a blessing. And sometimes we are able to accomplish things. Brother Randy, it seems like whenever I'm tinkering in the garage, I say tinkering because I'm not a professional at all, but whenever I'm messing, whenever I'm trying to fix something, it always, ask my wife, it always takes twice the length of time that I expect it to take. And I try to expect longer times, but it still doubles the time, all right? And you're like, well, I'm just trying to get more accomplished. That's the way I look at length of days. That might be different for somebody else, but that's the way I've looked at it. And long life, he says, it's a promise. And peace. Who doesn't want peace? Well, are we looking for a fight? No, he's promising peace here. And how do we get it? By keeping his commandments, verse 1. By putting his law in our hearts and keeping his commandments. And here's the promise in verse 2. Verse 3, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them on the table of thine heart. Again, on the outside, yes, we'll carry them about with us, but we hide them in our heart too. So that we would have a desire. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Yes. Yes. The kids quote that every day when they're in the Christian school as part of their pledges. That's the word of God. That's Psalm 119. And look, we get to verse 4 and we see, again, promises here. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to have God's favor. But I also like having favor of other people. I mean, I don't want to be on the bad side of people. I don't want to be enemies. I want things to go well, right? That's a promise of the Lord if we do it God's way. Yes? Look at the context here. He goes into verse 5. We know these verses very, very well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. My understanding says, well, this seems logical. This seems right in my eyes. Wait a minute, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Yeah, see how it worked out for them. Yeah. Yeah, God had blessed them, so they kind of backed off some things, and they kind of got comfortable, complacent. Yeah, and then God took his hand of blessing off because they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And then an enemy came in and oppressed them, didn't they? Yeah, over and over and over again, back and forth, right? And so he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. It's not, your way is not best. We oftentimes, we think we know best. I think I know best. Ask my wife. That's my sin. That's what I'm saying there, okay? We think we know best. And we'll argue, we're blue in the face over something that we really don't know that much about. But we think we know best. You know what God's saying? Be still and trust me. Keep my word. Keep my law. Hide my commandments in your heart. Don't go your way. Listen, folks, you and I, we all understand this. We must understand this. We can see it from beginning to end in the Scriptures that you were sinners. That we're sinners. Yes, we were made to be in perfection. We were made in the image of God, Adam and Eve, right? They were made in the image of God, complete and whole. But yet, when they were given the choice, they were bound in sin. So therefore, ever since, we in the bloodline have been born into sin. We're all sinners. You don't have to, nobody had to convince me that I was a sinner. I understood right and wrong because I had parents that taught me what was right and wrong. Amen. Parents, we need to be teaching what's right and wrong so our children understand that they're sinners. How are they going to come to the knowledge of Jesus, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, if they don't know that they've sinned? Yes, that there's right and there's wrong. Solomon, we're talking about Solomon in Proverbs. Solomon said that when he was dedicating the temple, 1 Kings chapter 8. He said, Lord, you're going to put your name here. This is going to be your house. He said, let men come back to you when they've done wrong and let them get right. He said, for there's no man that sinneth not. 1 Kings chapter 8, he said that. We all know that we're sinners. And so God here is saying, trust in the Lord. Trust me. If we're sinners, how can we trust our thinking? The Bible says very clearly that our heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? This day we feel like this, and so we go this way. This other day we feel like this, so we go that way, and we're roller coasters of emotions. How can we trust ourselves? You can't. And that's why God says, trust me. Trust my law, trust my word. It doesn't change. Praise the Lord. The word of God doesn't change. Multiple times it says in the word of God, it's forever settled in heaven. Amen. There's power behind the word of God. He's preserved it unto all generations. It doesn't change. When we get to Proverbs here, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, we're so accustomed to hearing those verses, sometimes we don't let them really affect us. We've heard them so much. It's quoted from the pulpits often, and that's a good thing. But don't, out of repetition, pass by it and not dwell on it and think on it and let it affect our hearts. And it's not the message at hand today, but the Lord's having me stop here for a reason. Again, look at it, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what your own understanding says? Well, I'm good enough. My good outweighs my bad. That seems logical. If you've never been to jail, you never killed anybody. Yeah, I might have told a white lie every once in a while, but I've never done anything really bad. I should be okay. That's man's logic. But it ain't right. It's not Bible. For all have sinneth, or all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what Romans says. Amen. That means I've come short of God and His perfection and of heaven. I've come short of that. I can't get there on my own. I'll never make it. Because the wages of sin is death. We understand that. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. So when we're dealing with the area of salvation, talking about eternal life, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your skin color, your language, your original language. It doesn't matter if you're from Martinsburg or somewhere across the country, or if it doesn't matter if you're from Africa or Europe or Antarctica for that matter. What matters is that you're a sinner and that in your sin you will die and go to hell. That's Bible truth. But the Lord Jesus came to take your place, to become the substitutionary sacrifice for you, and died the death that you deserved. I was just studying Ephesians this week, and I was enjoying it, and God puts this parenthesis right in Ephesians 4. It's like He wanted us to know something, but He didn't. Like, that wasn't the context necessarily. He just wanted us to know it. And He says He descended into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive. Ephesians chapter 4. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin. He paid it for you. I'm just being led for a minute. This might not be a custom right here, right now, but honestly, listen, please. Let's just talk on this a little bit more. The prophecy of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, lays out so clearly the Messiah coming and His death. Yes? Yes. But anybody, honestly, listen, there's been a lot of other people that have died. Now, the death of Jesus, we don't want to forget that, understand that. But when we're trying to help folks that understand Old Testament and not New Testament, you know, the prophecy of His resurrection is in the Old Testament too. Psalm chapter 16, God led David to write, he said, you'll not leave my soul in hell, nor your Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast shown me the path of life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was prophesied back in Psalm 16, and that is what changes everything. We looked at that here recently. The resurrection changes everything. Why do I look to Christ? Why do I look to the Messiah? Because He raised from the dead. Yes, He died for my sin, but He didn't stay dead. He rose from the tomb. And it changes everything. Everything. I'm just going to ask everybody to heads bowed right now, please. If you don't mind, please. Personal time for a moment. Personal time, you and God. You and God, please. If you would. I wonder, there's a big crowd in here. Would there be anybody, and I won't call you out, might not even know your name, I don't know, but before God, you'd raise a hand of witness, and you'd say, I know who God is, but I don't know Him personally. Is there anybody like that this morning? Would just raise a hand. I know who God is, but I don't know Him personally. Anybody like that? I don't see any hands. Okay, one hand over here. Okay. I know who God is, but I don't know Him personally. All right. How about this? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, between you and the Lord. Say, I don't know what you've been talking about this morning about being saved. I don't know what that means. You could also say being born again. Two Bible terms there means the same thing. I see that hand, yes. I see that hand. Anybody else like that this morning? Raise a hand. Anybody like that? Okay. All right. How about that? Might say it this way. Pastor John, this is, the heads are bowed. I wonder if you'd just raise a hand and say, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that. I don't know that I'd be with the Lord for forever. Anybody like that? Raise a hand. Anybody? All right. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are still closed. I wonder, if you raised a hand, would you look at me? Would you look at me? If you raised a hand, would you look at me? Could you do that? Don't you want to get saved? Don't you want to trust the Lord and know the Lord personally? Let's do it. Let's take care of that right now. I'm going to ask Mrs. Lawrence, you're right there. Do you mind just going to the back of the sanctuary, please? If you don't mind, please, just right to the back. And she can help you if you'd like to. Go ahead right now and just receive the Lord. Everybody's heads are bowed. It'd be fine. Just go right now. Go in and receive the Lord right now. She's back here and she's ready to help you. She's ready. Okay? She's right back here and she's ready. And you could take somebody with you if you wanted to. Be okay, Mrs. Lawrence. Right over there. Okay? All right? And heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. Lord, would you just intervene right now, please? God, Holy Spirit, I believe that you draw all men unto yourselves. And I believe that right now you're drawing one. But there might be others. There might be others sitting right here, Lord. And I pray if they need to get saved, they just stand up right now and go to the back. Lord, if they need to get saved, they just stand up right now and go to the back. And Lord, we'll have people with Bibles and ready to help. And I just ask you, Lord, that you would do your perfect work right now. And Lord, draw folks unto yourself. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up this way. That's not the route that I was going with the message, but the Holy Spirit was leading, so we'll just let him have his way. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord for it. All right. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, we see these scriptures. We can continue, and I'm going to go a little quicker now. Look at verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. That's a respect. That's a respect of standing in awe before God. And depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That sounds good. It'll be healthy for you. It's healthy for you. But church, right after he says, trust me, and he tells his promises, look at the context. What's the very first thing he starts talking about after that? Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy what? Substance. Isn't that interesting in that context? He says, trust me, because your own understanding might not go this way. Just trust me. And remember, Solomon's teaching his boy here, and what's he teaching him? He says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Well, what is that? What is that? I looked that word substance up, and it's the Hebrew word hon. Hon. I might be pronouncing it wrong, but it looks like hon, H-O-N-E, all right? And that means wealth by implication enough. Brother Rusty, when I looked at that definition, it blew me out of the water. I'm like, yeah, I know it's wealth, substance. I know what it's talking about there. I had a general idea, but it said by implication enough. You know what he's saying there? You know what he's telling his boy? He's saying, honor the Lord by giving enough of your substance that honors him. That's what he's saying. You follow? There's specifics that go along with that. Honor the Lord. We don't honor the Lord just occasionally with a little bit here or when I find a couple extra pennies. But honor the Lord with enough of thy substance. Enough of your wealth. That's what he's saying with that word. Now what's... Okay, Pastor John, wait a minute before you get too far. Well, what's the right amount then? If you're saying there's got to be... I know what the New Testament says something about as every man purposes in his heart. Well, what's that? And all what? No. Wait, that's a whole different thing. We'll get there. But that's different. What he's saying here is honor the Lord with what's right. With enough of your substance. That's what he's saying here. Some give occasionally. Some give a little extra. Some give when they see a great need. But God's teaching something different. I'm going to ask you, please, if you will, to just keep your finger here, this marker here. I'm going to bounce between two passages and just teach for a few minutes, and then we'll get on with the message. Would you go to the last book of the Old Testament? Could you go over there with me? Malachi is the book. Malachi. I'm going to Bob Jones' favorite verse in the Bible. Okay, is that right, Mrs. Jones? Bob, now, he's up in the Lord. He's probably quoting it to the Lord right now, but... It was his favorite verse 8 of chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, please, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. And here God teaches us a little bit with this, but he's honestly at this point, he's already taught it, but he's calling out some people that haven't done right. He's calling out really and honestly the priests of his day is what he's talking to, who he's talking to here. But look, if you would, please, in Malachi chapter 3, and look at verse 7, if you would. Malachi 3, 7. The Bible says, now I'm going to flip back from between there and Proverbs 3 for a little bit, okay? It says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Okay, what do I got to do to get right with God? That's what he's saying here. How do I return unto the Lord? Okay, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. That's the Lord speaking to his people. You've robbed me. Oh boy, this is one of them messages. Oh, he's talking about offerings and tithes and all that. He's talking about giving money. Nobody likes those messages. Yeah, well, hold on, visitors. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the Bible, is it not? Amen. Will a man rob God? Verse 8. Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Look at the specifics here. In tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. That word tithe there would go along with what we were just talking about in Proverbs chapter 3. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 3, he's talking about honor the Lord with thy substance, or enough. And by implication, enough is the definition of that word. So the enough of your substance to show God that you're doing it what's right. You're honoring him by doing what's right. I don't know about the parents in here, but when my child kind of obeys, I don't call that right. Well, take care of that. They know what that means. When I point to something, it's time to take care of that. Well, they pick it up and they throw it under the rug or under their bed or whatever. That's not obedience. Because I've had teaching time, they know what that means when I say take care of that. Clothes either get put away or they get put in the laundry basket, right? The hamper. Right? They know that because I've drilled it into their heads. So take care of that. They know what that means. And so understanding this, he's saying tithes and offerings here. A tithe, the definition of that word is 10%. It's a tenth. Yes? That's what that word means. It's a tenth of your increase. In our day, we would say income. In the Old Testament days, their increase was all that grew out of the field or what they sold, something, whatever that might be. They're all the increase that came into them. To us in our day, we call it income. The government sure likes to tax it, doesn't it? That's what he's talking about, a tenth. If we were to go through the Bible, if I was to take time and walk through the Scriptures with you, I could show you where Abraham tithed. I could show you where Jacob tithed. I could show you where it was commanded in the Old Testament law. I can show you again where Solomon in chapter 3 here and a couple of different times teaches his son, hey, we're supposed to do this. I can show you when Malachi right here is calling out even the leadership of his day saying, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. I can show you in Matthew where he's talking to the Pharisees and he says, you're tithing on these things and you should, but they were missing a bigger picture. They were missing a heart issue. I could take you to Luke and I could take you to Hebrews where he teaches Old Testament principles put into the New Testament and talked about, and he says you ought to do it. Tithing is shown all throughout the Scriptures, and he says, are you going to be right with God? Then quit robbing me. That's what he says. That's a little difficult sometimes. Wait a minute. You want me to give 10%? Well, our perspective's wrong, isn't it, if we're thinking that way? I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but the Bible says in James that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, who is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that we have comes from the Lord. Every blessing, all our wealth, all our talents, all our abilities come from God. And God says, I've given you all of this. honor me with 10% back. Show me that you're obedient to me and give it back. That's what he's talking about here. And he's saying here, you've robbed me. But they ask, where have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. It's very interesting here. Very interesting. Today, I want you to see something about tithing here. And we're going to talk about offerings too. It says both there. It says tithe and offerings. But tithing is something sometimes we, because we're stingy and because we care about our wallets and we care about where our money goes, we try to make excuses for things. You know, tithing in Scripture is required by God. It's required by God. Look at, we're still in Malachi. Look again where it says here. Look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That doesn't sound like a suggestion. Sounds like a command, doesn't it? I'm just preaching Bible. This is not my opinion. I'm giving you Bible here. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, wait a minute. Pastor John, what's the storehouse? What does that mean? Well, look at the verse. It continues. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat, where? In mine house. God says, bring it into the church house. That's what he's talking about. That's tithing. You know, a lot of folks, I've heard this, and they say this, well, I tithe, but, you know, I give to help the planet. That's great, but that's not what tithing is. Well, Pastor John, yes, okay, I understand it. But I give to these children in Africa, and I give to these children down here in South America, and I give to these. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. But that's not tithing. Not according to the Bible. That's not tithing. Well, I drop money in the Ronald McDonald Fund every time I get fries. That's not tithing. According to Malachi here, that's not tithing. Okay. Well, I round up. You know, every store asks you to round up now. You know, you used to spend like, you know, $15 at the grocery store, but now you spend like $915, and they want you to round it up, right? And you round it up for a good cause, right? For cancer research or for whatever. It's good causes, but that's not tithing. According to the Bible, it's not tithing. Okay? So, but okay, Pastor John, what about this? But it's 10% of whatever's left over, right? Ooh. So like I pay all my bills and I do all that, and then I honor the Lord with whatever he gives me left over, right? No. Is that what the Bible says? Let's keep something marked here in Malachi because we're bouncing back and forth a little bit. Let's go back to Proverbs 3. Look at that, please. Proverbs chapter 3, okay? Look, what's the Bible say here? He says in verse 9, I'm going to read it again. He says, honor the Lord, Proverbs 3, 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the what? First fruits of all thine increase. First fruits. Yeah, the Jews and Israel in the Old Testament, they gave an offering right there, the first fruits of the harvest. They gave it. Well, okay, but I'm not a farmer. How does that make sense to me? Pastor John, I live in 2025. I'm direct deposit, and there's automatic withdrawals, and there's all these things, right? Whether it's your house payment or an insurance payment or life insurance, it just comes right out, right? How's that work? What makes sense of it to you? What makes sense to me? When we have income, I don't know how the rest of you do it, but when we have income, I sit down and I make a budget. That's what I do. Every month, I lay it out. And I write out in the budget. You know what's at the top for me? For us? It's tithing. Why? Because God said, give first fruits. So before I figure out how much money we have down at the end, I know I've already given my tithe. That's the way we do it because that's what God tells me to do. Give him my first fruits. And I'm trying to honor the Lord. Folks, I don't know about everybody else, but I know this, that I desire to be right with God. I desire that. I long for that. I look for that. I regularly have times of sin confession and say, Lord, is there anything in my heart that's not right with you? Help me and show me. I want to be right with you. I don't want to be looking over my shoulder all the time. I want to have the blessing of God upon myself, upon my family, upon this church. Amen. That means I have to do right by my giving. And I want to do that. I want to do what's right. It's first fruits. Exodus 23 says, The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. So we see it's required by God. But did you notice in both these texts, number two, it's rewarded by God. Did you see that? We're in Proverbs 3. Look at it again, please. Verse 9 talks about doing it, and then it says verse 10. Look, Proverbs 3:10. So shall thy barns be filled with what? Plenty. You know what plenty means? It means abundance. That's what that means. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Pastor John, I don't have a barn. I understand. But you have somewhere that you keep a little something. Whether that's a bank account, or some of you that were raised and back, I don't know if depression still affects all that, but mattresses or whatever it is for you, okay? I dig it. I dig a hole in the ground. I got it buried. Praise the Lord. Nobody can touch it. They can't even find it. Yeah, neither can your relatives when you draw them a little treasure map someday. All right? Some squirrel done run off with it. Amen. But it's rewarded by God. You know what he's saying here? He's saying that you're going to have enough. You're going to be cared for. You'll have plenty. You'll have an abundance. In our adult life, in our married life, Maria and I have instituted tithing along all the way, and we've never been without. I did not say it's never not been tight. I didn't say that it's never been, you know, I wondered about it. But God's never come up short. He said, trust me. Trust me. And what he said in the context here, trust me. And then he starts talking about tithing. So, rewarded by God. In Malachi, just flip right over there. We'll be done with Proverbs. Look back at Malachi. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And look what he says. And prove me. God says, prove me. My people, I want you to prove me. See if I'm telling the truth or not. And does God lie? No, the Bible says he cannot lie. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. I like that right there. There's not room enough. Well, I don't know my bank account. I think the numbers keep going for a while. So I want to see this thing happen, right? Look what else he says. It doesn't just stop there. It says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. If you don't know who that is, let's look at the New Testament. There's one who's seeking whom he may devour. Yeah, that's right. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of blessings with that. If we do right by giving. Let's go with me now, and I won't be long in the New Testament here, but let's go to Luke 20, please. Go over to Luke chapter 20, please. Church, if we're going to be the right kind of church, and if I'm going to be the right kind of preacher, I've got to preach on everything. I got to cover the whole law, the whole scripture. I got to preach it all. Say, well, you go to these Baptist churches, and I just talk about money all the time. Well, it's Bible. And you know, if you've come here for any length of time, I think it's been almost a year since I preached on this. Luke chapter 20, this is the context of paying taxes here. Yeah, the Pharisees, they're trying to get Jesus. They're trying to say, well, do we pay our tribute unto Caesar? And he says, because what they're trying to say is, if he says yes, then he'll be against the law where we're supposed to give it to God. But if he says no, then he'll be against Caesar and we'll turn him into the Romans. What's he say? We're in Luke chapter 20 and look at verse number 22. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? And they answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. You know what that means? That means I'm an American citizen. I'm a citizen of Berkeley County. I have never paid so much taxes in my life since living here. I mean, I feel it here. But praise God for West Virginia. And I get to live here, and I'm supposed to pay my taxes. But that says right in there that I'm also supposed to do right by God. Amen. 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 I'm supposed to do right by God. Again, how's our perspective? If our perspective is God gives me it all, then I don't have a problem with giving him back what he's asked for, that requirement of 10%. It's impossible to separate finances from spirituality. I was reading on this a little bit this week, and a preacher said this, it's impossible to separate finances from spirituality. The value system of your heart is exposed by your relationship to money and material things. That was convicting to me. I said, ooh. So the way I view my money and the way I handle my money shows if I'm a spiritual man or not. Wow. Consider the rich young ruler. Remember him? It was Matthew 19. He came to Jesus. He said, well, I followed all the law. I've done all this. I've done all this right. And Jesus said, go sell everything you have. Give it away. You know what he was doing there? He's saying, you're trusting in your wealth. That if you don't have something, you can buy it. And you can't buy your way to heaven. That's what he said. That's what the context there. That's what the purpose of that conversation. And he went away sorrowful. Because he was very wealthy. Our money and the way we handle things and our materialistic self, that shows our spirituality a bit. Jesus taught on money much. I didn't realize this. I was looking at it. 38 parables in the Gospels. And if I have it right here, 12 of those are about money. Almost a third he was talking about this. If you take Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those three Gospels, one out of every six verses, he's dealing with money. Now, I'll end with this. Hebrews chapter 7, please. Let's go over there. Hebrews chapter 7. If you're a preacher any length of time, you hear somebody say, well, tithing's so Old Testament. That's interesting. I love the book of Hebrews. I love it. Man, I dwell in Hebrews a lot because I like seeing the Old Testament in the New Testament. And what he does here is he's taking Old Testament principles and he's teaching them and how it applies in the church age here after Jesus has died on the cross. And how do we make sense of all this? I love it. I love the understanding of all this. And he talks in Hebrews chapter 7, he starts talking about a man named Melchizedek. You remember who Melchizedek was? Well, let's read about him. Let's read about him. Chapter 7 here. He's Hebrews 7. He says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem. Salem means peace. Priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave the tenth part of all. First being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Look at verse 3. Lest you're not understanding who this man was. Look at verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Who's he talking about? Talking about Jesus. That's the Son of God right there. He took a different name of a pre-incarnation before the days of Mary and Joseph, but it's the Son of God who has always been and will always be. He came several times in the Old Testament and showed himself and here to Abraham. He actually came to Abraham multiple times. But here, as the king Melchizedek, and Abraham recognized that and he paid tithes to it. Let's continue in the scripture here. Look what it says. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood. We're talking Old Testament law here. We're talking about the books of Exodus and Leviticus when God gave out the law and he put together the tribe of Levi to minister to the people for the Lord here. And he says here, they have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That came about after Abraham. That is, of their brethren. Though they come out of the loins of Abraham. They're the descendants of Abraham, and they pay tithes in Abraham, but even in the law they're commanded to do that. Verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. He's saying, before they existed, before the tribe of Levi, before the Old Testament laws command that the Levites would take the tithes, there was Melchizedek, and Abraham paid them to him. Look at verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Now look at verse 8. This is where we'll end here. And here, he's talking about now in the first century, now that we're looking at Jesus has died on the cross, we're talking about we're in the new covenant, all of that. He says, and here, men that die receive tithes. Sounds like the ushers, doesn't it? Yeah. Brother Trumpy, we love you, but one day you're going to die if the Lord tarries. Okay? And I know you're saved, and praise the Lord, we'll rejoice in heaven, right? But we'll also be sad that you'd be gone. But here, men receive tithes. Isn't that what he's saying? Here, men that die receive tithes. But look at this. But there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. Who is it that's witness that's alive? It's talking about Jesus. And it says here, men receives the tithes, but yet the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven receives them when we give them here. That's what he's talking about. New Testament tithing right here. It's not just an Old Testament thing. I hear people say that, and I've heard them say that a lot. Well, that's okay that you say that. It's not okay that you say that, actually, because it's not Bible. If you were to read the entire scriptures, you'll see it's in the New Testament like it is in the Old Testament. Amen. And if I'm going to be right with God, I need to give my tithe and my offerings. He says, you've robbed me. You've robbed me in tithes and in offerings. But what's offerings, Pastor John? That's where there is not a requirement of an amount. Offerings are above the tithe. You know here, this year, we've been trying to raise money for the mortgage and pay it off. That's an offering above and beyond. The Bible says very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, it says that every man, would, as he purposed in his heart, gave as God leads him. I'm not quoting that verse correctly. Look it up. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, right there where he talks about it. That's talking about missions giving. Context there is missions giving. We're about to have missions conference, and we're about to have faith promise giving and all those things. And that is above and beyond the tithe. We don't, Brother Williams, we don't commit that we're going to give this to missions, and then we minus that off our tithe. We don't do that because that would be doing wrong by God. Yes? He said, let your tithes be brought into the storehouses so that there be meat in mine house. That's different than sending offerings out along the world that people get helped around the world. That's different. And if I'm going to do right by God, I got to know the difference of these two things. I got to know that difference. Let's do right by God. Let's not rob God. If I'm going to be the right kind of man, spiritually that I ought to be, the Christian that I'm supposed to be, according to my Bible, both Old and New Testament here, I see that I'm supposed to be a man of giving. I'm supposed to be, I give my 10%, and I'm supposed to give offerings. If you want to understand that, try reading in the law and all those offerings above their tithe, what they gave. And understand those things. Let's do right by God. Amen. Understand, it was necessary for us to see this. This is not a message that brings the masses to salvation. We already had the gospel presented this morning, but this is where we get to do right by God. Perhaps Perhaps you give when the offering plate comes by. Perhaps you give online or whatever, however you do that. There's boxes on the way out and all those things. It's not for any of us really to understand. We don't need to know everything that you're doing. That's not what the purpose of it is. The purpose is, are you right with the Lord? And God says, you got to be right on your giving, tithes and your offerings. Let's bow together. Lord, help us with this, please, today. Here we are, Lord, in the month of missions. And Lord, you know, Lord, I'm just going to be transparent here. You know this already. In the month of October, when we have missions giving, when we have missionary Christmas, when we have all these things like that, for missions, for other people, for sending the gospel around the world, Lord, when we have those months, our tithe always dips. Lord, our general fund giving is always dipping. And Lord, I believe that we as Christians may be confused sometimes between the difference of the two. Lord, may I, as a Christian, may I give properly and rightly, that I'd be right before you, that I'd give of my tenth, and then I'd give above that with my offerings. And Lord, I pray that you would help me and give me strength to continue that. I pray that you'd strengthen all of us in here, that we'd be the Christians that are doing right by God. Lord, maybe there'd be somebody in here that should have raised their hand earlier but didn't. They're not saved. They don't know about heaven. They don't know God personally. And I pray that, Lord, you would lay them right in this invitation to come forward to the altar here and say, can you show me how I can be saved? And I pray that you'd bless this time, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.